Sounded good. Y'all are singing with conviction today. I like it. Turn back a few pages, get another old number. Number 239, Shall We Gather at the River? And that's appropriate with the rain that's falling today. But we'll take it as showers of blessings. 239.
Miss Rachel, for the good playing. Good to see everyone today. I believe our crowd is down a little bit. Maybe everybody ate too much turkey. Maybe they're not able to get out because of that. I know that there's a lot of people that are still having a lot of Thanksgiving get-togethers, and we are glad that you came out to be with us today. I hope and pray that you will be blessed today in this service. As you see, I have an extra up here today. This being Fifth Sunday, and the church had voted that we could have a visiting preacher on the fifth Sundays of each time they come around. Today we have Brother Wes Pettigo with us. He is from up in Macon County. He is a member of Rocky Mound Missionary Baptist Church up there in Macon County. Many of you know where that's at and are familiar with that church. And we are glad to have him with us today, he and his family. I need to say that. Got three precious children with him today, one not too old. And we are thankful for them being with Brother West today. And we want to make them just feel as welcome as they possibly can. Known West quite a few years now, and he is a very able young preacher. He's actually been ordained. He was pastor over here at Smyrna here for a little while. But we're glad to have him with us here today. And let's just pray that the Lord will bless him in a great big way. is what I want us to do. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, but before we do that, we always have a little portion of time for the kids, and we invite our children to come up, and we'll have just a little bit of time as called Children's Church. So, kids, let's come right over here. I believe Brother Stewart had you over here over there the other day, so we'll have you here today. Come right on in. Hi, Luke. Hi. Yeah, you got a cracker. Yes. Okay. Good to see everybody. Come right on. Just have a seat anywhere. It's good to see all of you. Good to have our guests with us today. Okay, in this little bit of time that I'm going to spend with you, did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot? Good. What's the next holiday? I got a lot. I'm getting some reaction today. That's unusual. Christmas. Y'all look forward to Christmas, huh? What's the best thing about Christmas? Eating? Presents? Yeah, that's what I thought you might say. Okay, let's go a little bit further than just the presents, okay? In the Bible, we find that there was a time when Jesus was going to feed 5,000 people. Okay, where did he get the food from that he fed them with? They was out in a desert area. Wasn't any towns really close by. Matter of fact, the disciples said, Lord, send them away that they can go into nearby towns and that they can buy themselves food. He said, well, why don't you just feed them? That would be the natural thing, wouldn't it? But they said, Lord, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. We have one little boy here that's got a little basket of food. He's got two fishes and some loaves of bread. But what are they among so much? Now, what I want you to think about is, you remember, I've been talking to you about what young people can do. That's what I've been trying to talk to you about. So what did that young man do? He gave his lunch to those people, to the Lord, really, that the Lord could use it. Now, what we find happened that the Lord took that food, those fish and that bread, and he said a prayer over it and blessed it, and then he started to break it apart and put it into baskets. They all had baskets in those days, and he filled up a basket, and he said, go serve it to them. He filled up another basket out of two little fish and just a few loaves of bread, and he just kept breaking it off and putting it into the basket. See, one of the things about Christmas is we talk about the gifts that we're going to receive. But one of the best things we can do is give. Maybe we think that what we give is could not be that much. And I'm satisfied the little boy thought that day with the fish and the bread that his gift to the Lord wasn't going to be very much. But what he had in mind, what Jesus had in mind, was feeding 5,000 people. How many of you has got to see 5,000 people before? How many of you has gone to, I know some of you went to a UT ball game, right? More than 5,000 people there, wasn't it? You go to a big place sometimes and there's a lot of people. Could you feed with just what you have with you? Well, see, what the Lord does is take what we give him and he makes it something big. Even when we don't think it's very much, he'll take what we have. Sometimes it's just our prayers. Sometimes it may be just handing somebody. Now, one of my stories is that I like to tell was one time there was an old man that he never did drive when I was a kid. And He had an odd nickname, I guess you would say. His name was Booger. Y'all like that name? That was his nickname. They called him Booger. And he never drove anywhere. He got everywhere by just somebody being nice enough to pick him up. Well, on Christmas Eve one day, I seen him down the road, and I thought, I'll pick up Booger. And he's like, well, that wasn't much. No, it wasn't. But Booger got to talking about he didn't have anything, any money that day. And I didn't have much myself on me. I think I had a $5 bill, and I gave him that $5 bill. And I come back home, and my mother said, what took you so long? And I said, well, I picked up Booger, and I told her what happened. And she fussed at me. And what she said was, you shouldn't have give him that. He just liable to give that $5 for a dollar bill. He doesn't know. I said, well, the Lord will take care of it. She said, well, maybe there's your money back. She said, your aunt left you a Christmas present. You know what I got? Double the amount. You see, when we give to God's things, he pays us back double. Now, not every time you put in a dollar or $5 into the plate, does that mean you're going to get that much back? But if you give it out of a right heart, God will prosper you. In this time of year, we talk about giving. Keep that in mind over these next couple of weeks. Give to God's cause. And I'm not talking about the collection plate. Be nice to somebody. That's a big gift. Pray for somebody. Oh, that's a big gift. You just talk to them about Jesus. That's the biggest gift you can give them. That's my message for you today. I'll let you go. That old man was probably known by a lot of people in Macon County and Smith. There's a lot of stories about that old man and what he did. And it's nothing as big as what we think a lot of times as far as big things. But that man could get around faster than anybody could. But if we'll follow the Lord, we can prosper in many ways. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be able to start getting ready for Christmas, isn't it? It seems like it was last week in many ways for us that Christmas has come and gone. Now it's here again. Kids are saying it's been a long time to me, but it'll get faster to them too. Let's cherish every moment over the next few weeks that we can with family and friends about Christmas. As I said, we want to get down to business in our service today. As I said, we want to be prayerful for Brother West as he comes forward to preach for us here in a little while. But does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? As we said, there's a lot of things that we need to pray for. It's good to have our sick that's been hadn't been able to be back with us. It's good to see them back with us today. But there's others that we have been praying for that are still sick and have problems. We need to be praying for them also. I had some prayer requests back in our Sunday school class. I'm not going to repeat them, but let's pray for them. God knows what those requests are. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning?
A little bit of wisdom that's been discerned.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you, Sister Joan. We need to pray for her. We need to pray for those kids. They're at the time and the age where that they want to go other places. And they need our prayers that they'll come back to the house of God. Probably they'll leave. I hope they don't. They'll leave us for a while, but let's pray that God will bring them back. And let's pray for them on that way. Anybody else? Let's remember Brother Tim's. Said cousin? Right. Okay. Let's do remember him in our prayers with his back problems. Somebody else?
Remember the half a card, you know, some lady
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right, Brother Leslie. They are a target. And it's a shame that it is in our country that there are targets. But as he said, anywhere in the world. We do need to remember our National Guard members. We need to remember all of our military men. I want to say right now, I appreciate anybody that's ever served in the military. I do. They had a great job, and I appreciate them very much. But let's pray for these men and women that are in the service right now. Somebody else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I said, let's remember Brother Wes as he'll be bringing the message today. Let's pray that the Lord will help him in this message today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we want you to do. We'll call on one to start, but everybody pray. Brother Lane, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you for your generosity. Let's continue our song service. I've enjoyed hearing you sing thus far. Let's sing number 216. I'm bound for that city, 216. One fifty-five. last number. Turn a few pages to 151. 151.
I'd like to say I'm thankful for the ones that came up and were in the choir area and sang. I appreciate each one of them coming up today. Appreciate everybody singing out this morning. Singing was good today, and I hope that it's already lifted your heart today to where that you have already worshiped the Lord today in this service. It's good to see each and every one here today. As I said, we have Brother Wes Pettigo here to preach for us. I'm going to let him tell more about himself. As I said, he's from Rocky Mount Missionary Baptist Church, and I'll let him do the rest of the talking. He has visited here at different times over the last few years. He was here, I think, homecoming a couple years ago when his family sung here, and so we enjoyed them being with us then. So we're glad to see him today. Let's be prayerful for him as he will bring the message today. Brother Wes, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Brother Ricky. I'd like to start out by thanking the church for an opportunity to come and stand before you today. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you come expecting to hear a good preacher, then you wasted your trip to this building. I can't do anything today without the help of the Lord. And I pray that he'll be able to just take me and use me today for his honor and for his glory. And I'm so thankful to be able to come and to stand before you and do the work that he's called me to do. And I guess this is probably one of the few times that I just been so excited this week because I've tried to study and prepare. And I just been excited under one foot and very humbled under the other. And I'm by no means a learned preacher, I guess, so to speak. I just try to study and glean from God's word what he'd have for me to bring. And I don't want to add anything to or take anything away from that, for he knows what's needed at each place that we go. And he's the one that designs the message, and I just have to lean into that and study out those things that he places on my heart. But with that being said, we're going to start our reading lesson in the book of Colossians in the first chapter. And We'll have to do a little pretext reading today to, I guess, make a basis for what that our thought is. But with that being said, before we take off reading, I wonder if there'd be anything that needs to be said or done today. All upon anyone's heart, we don't want to hinder the Lord's service. If he's got something for you to do today, I encourage you to do that. But if not, the first chapter of the book of Colossians, we'll start at the 9th verse. And it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice..." Well, this is stopped there in the 23rd verse. And there was comments made in Sunday school that I felt just went right along with what did we have on our heart today. And it was made mention of that since the beginning of time, since the creation of man, Satan has been nipping at the heels of mankind to try to snuff out this gospel that we have today, whether it be through the fall of man, which we'll go and we'll talk about here in just a few moments of time. But it's continued on down through the creation of the Lord's church, that he would persecute it to try to stop it from going forward. Folks, it's no different today. He's still nipping at our heels today to try and make us stumble and fall. But out of these verses we read to you, Paul writing to, I believe, the church there and talking to them, that he was encouraging them that they should grow and prosper in the Lord, and that they would be strengthened with might according to, in the 11th verse, strengthened with might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, and giving thanks to unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in light. And we think about these things, and as we go through this, I began to think about this week, if I could sum up just in a few words what that we want to talk about today. I began to think about my life and my walk with Christ, and I don't mean this to puff myself up today. I've said it countless times that the only person that I'm able to talk about in truth and use for an example today is myself, because I know what the intent of my heart was at the times that these things came about. And I began to think about my I walked with God after that I was saved. You see, I had the joy in having the presence of God dwell within my soul there for a little while as a young child. But you see, as I got older, things of the world began to creep in, and they began to eat at that. And those things there were presented to me, I believe, as stumbling blocks by Satan to try to draw me away from the truth of the gospel. I'd been taken to church all my life, and As I'd say most of you have, and you know, I had a good knowledge of the Scripture, I thought, and in all those things, I began to lean back to those things and wish that I was taught. But you see, I spent a lifetime watching people profess Christ and that going forth with a faith that God would take care of those things. But you see, I can watch all those things with my eyes. I can feel them in my heart, but until I take the Scripture and apply it to my life, it makes no sense. It makes no sense today. With that being said, we look at these in the 21st verse, and we won't go back and read that. And it says, let's go back and hit the 21st. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." You see, there's substance to this word of God that we have today. And it's so important that we take that and we use it and apply it to our lives, that we be grounded, that we be stable and settled in it, that we aren't distracted by the wiles of Satan. Now, as I began to think about this, and I'm ashamed today to say this, I had an idea of what it was to be a child of God. I've heard people's testimonies time and time again about how that they found trouble and sorrow, and then when God came in, peace came with it. And we attribute salvation to that. But I want you to understand today that salvation goes above and beyond the peace with God, that we're reconciled to him through his Son. And I want to, for the Lord to help me, I want to try to talk about that picture of reconciliation and just exactly what that Jesus did for us. Amen. Y'all bear with me as we try to get through this. As I said, I just been excited this week to get to come and preach. And as I was trying to study through these things, the Lord, he blessed my heart. I got no lies to tell you. I've been excited to get here and to try to tell you about God's Word, not to anything of myself this morning. I told you that I'm not a good preacher. I beg and I plead with God that He makes up the gap of my shortcomings when I stand behind the bookboard, that the Spirit of God would direct the words to your heart, and that you could understand. Oh, I wish I could tell it like the Lord lets me see it and He lets me feel it. Flip over with us to the book of John, 1 John in the 3rd chapter. Starting with the first verse, and it says in the 3rd chapter of the 1st book of John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Let's stop there. And this may seem redundant to you, but I like to take what the New Testament says, and I like to go and try to back it up by what the Old Testament says. And if you can find the two accounts there, I believe that it fulfills the truth in which that we preach today, that it reaffirms it. And then in just a few moments of time, we'll flip over to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. As I was beginning to think about this, oftentimes we go back and we read from this. And as I said, when we grow in the Lord and we grow in His Word, you see these things will begin to be revealed to us, and then we can understand them a little better, that we may be able to love Him more. And I begin to think about, as it talks about that we being become sons of God, and as us as parents, that we thoroughly enjoy it when our children, when they obey us, when they listen to us, and they do good things. God is the same way today. He's proud of us when we stand strong, we're grounded, and we're settled in the truth that we can withstand the wiles that Satan has put before us. But as I began to think about this, unless we truly understand what that Jesus endured on our behalf, it's hard for us to grasp the truth, the full joy of what is revealed in our heart. So with that being said, I've been listening to a lot of the old sermons from the old Union Ministry School, and this is a free little nugget for each one of you. If you got some spare time and you want to listen to something good, get on there and listen to those old sermons that have been taken down through the years. I want you to understand that being able to listen and hear those things, I've been encouraged. I've grown in the Word of God, and it's helped me to raise myself above the level at which that I once was, that I could love Him more, that I could honor and glorify Him more today. That's what I want for you, each one of you. But as it was said, we're going to go back to the garden. It all started there, and we see in the third chapter, the one verse that we want to really draw on is verse 15. And it says that Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see that after that man and woman were created in the garden, that on the very onset, that they were created in perfection by an almighty God. And that Satan came there and said he was the most subtle. That he came upon and he crept upon the woman there. And it says that he beguiled her, he tricked her. You see, he put forth something that she thought that she wanted. He made her think that she wanted that. You may say, preacher, what's that got to do with man? I want you to understand today, as I study through these things, I believe that sin is transferred down through the man. And you can back that up and find that Jesus, as he came as our mediator there, that he was born of woman, that he was not born of man, so there was no sin to impute from our side. Then we see Adam there, who was, I believe that Satan knew exactly what he was doing there that day in the garden when he came unto Eve. He knew just exactly what it would take to deceive Adam. That he knew that Adam's love for Eve, he would put that before the commandment given by God. That commandment being that thou shalt eat to, well, let's see if we can find it. I'm not good at quoting verses. It says the day that thou, I don't want to take up too much time trying to look for it. But the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see that the commandment was given, and there was an execution of judgment upon the backside of that, that God could have said that you don't eat of that, let it be done. You see that man would have, I believe, lived in
what you see in that, he put in that, the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Meaning that the moment that they partook of that, their bodies began to decay in a lost and separated state from God. Folks, today, we're born in that. We're not like Adam was. Adam was created imperfect. He was perfect. The garden was perfect. He was created in perfectness. But because of his sin, all mankind was doomed that we would have an appointment with death. So we were born in sin from the very get-go. Meaning that God knew that, that this would happen, and he created a plan. That Jesus stepped forward and said that I will go. Even though all the attributes of God being just and that man should die, Jesus said, I'll go. And I'll be the mediator for them if it'll please thee. If my blood will appease the wrath upon mankind, you see. But in verse 15, going back to that, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I have no doubt today that many of you are more learned in the scriptures than I am. But I'm thankful that we have an account of Jesus' life here for some 33 years. I know that he endured for our behalf. But we can't, I don't believe, fully grasp the gravity of what it was that he faced. Not only what he faced, but he conquered on our behalf. With that being said, we want to spend a little time in the book of Samuel in the 17th chapter. For those of you that are learned in the scriptures, I'm sure you're thinking, well, where's he going with this? But this is the story of David and Goliath. And I've preached many different sermons from this text that I'm about to read to you. But I never have I ever seen it in the light that the Lord showed it to me this week. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope that he'll take it and he'll use it for his honor and glory today. And then it might be something upon you, upon your hearts today, that you may can see a picture of what that Jesus was able to do on our behalf. 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. We won't read it all. We're all pretty familiar, and I'll try to do a short summary up to this point. But we're going to start to about the 39th verse for our reading part. But we see that the army of Israel there, that they were in the valley facing off against the Philistines. And I believe upon the description in which that we find that both the Philistine army and the Israelite army were both, one of them was on the, I believe the Philistines were on the high ground, and the Israelites were in the low ground. You see that it was insurmountable odds against the children of Israel there as they went forward to fight. And I don't necessarily believe that the Israelites were a warring nation in that they were prepared to go and to fight in the battle like the Philistines were, you see. Philistines were a warring nation. They were very skilled in the art of warcraft. And you can read from the instruments in which that they brought to this battle. And then we find that David, hearing all these things that are coming on, that he desired to go and to bring food unto his brothers. And upon going, he sees the situation which is at hand that the Israelites are facing. And he goes and he asks Saul, he said, let me go and let me face this Philistine for the God of Israel. And we find that even his own brothers, David's own brothers, were, I'm going to say, making fun of him, poking fun at him for thinking that he could do anything against this gigantic Philistine. Well, we know the story that David, he went and that he faced off against Goliath there. And I believe I read some accounts as I was studying this that they would come out and they would taunt one another to try to draw them out, that they may be able to take them. But you see, this time that the Philistines, they were sending one person out, and Israel would send one person out to try to decide who the victor would be. Philistines being an ungodly type nation, that they were, Goliath in general was making jest at the God of Israel, and We find here, and it says in the 39th verse, it says, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked out and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, I am a dog, that thou comest to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord, Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. And David hastened and ran toward the enemy, ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slain and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way, and Shaarim unto Gath, and even unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. We'll stop there for just a moment. And as I said, we're all pretty familiar with these scriptures, and as I was beginning to read over this, and the Lord began to deal with me and show me these things, I had always attributed to Philistine Goliath there being the picture of sin, and it, David being a type of Christ. But with what we read to you there in the book of Genesis, and about what was going to happen when that Jesus came, I believe that this is also another picture to show the gravity of that which that Jesus did on our behalf. We see there that as a Philistine, he taunted David and cursed against the God of Israel. And I began to think in that verse 44, and it says, and the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now, y'all bear with me as we try to put all this together. But with that in mind, that Satan has spent so long since the beginning of the creation of man that he has tried to snuff out the hope in which we have for eternity. That he thought that he could trick mankind into blaspheming against God, that they would place their trust in the things of the world and forget to esteem God in the place that he ought to be in our lives. And he's been marginally successful with that today, folks. We can each look at our lives and we can see where that we fail temptation to the things in which the devil's put before us. You see, that's the fleshly side of man. But the Satan, there for a time, he had hope that he could capture the soul of man. He had hope for a little while. I believe that the Philistine there, that's a pretty good picture of Satan and how that he felt when he was going against Jesus, that he had hope, that he kindly knew that he was going to be able to defeat David. But we see, and I began to think about it, when we think about death and that reconciliation, we think about that attributed to the souls of man. And I thought about that, what the Philistine, what Goliath said to David about leaving his body there to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You see that as Jesus went along the road to the cross to Calvary there, that Satan presented to him an opportunity that when he took him and tempted him for 40 days there, that he was able to withstand those things that Satan put before him. And I began to think about how he did that. He pointed to him in the Word of God, you see. I can't stress the importance to you today about taking this book that we have before us, the inspired Word of God, and we apply it to our lives, that we soak it in, that we read it, and we try it just the same as David did. You see, there's many other things out in the world that appeal to us, just like Saul's armor to David. But David knew that he could not go into that battle and face Goliath without the things in which it had been proved by him, his sling. God's word is what's proved by us today. With that being said, we see that even all the way through the death of Jesus, I believe Satan still had hope that he could capture the souls of men. That when we laid this body down, that there would be an eternity in hell for us, waiting to be devoured. Just as it said there, I believe that that's a picture I see when the Philistine tells David that he would leave his body there for it to be attacked and decayed by those things in which are in the world, you see. We read on down and we see that account. I want to draw your attention again to the Philistine. And in the 45th verse, it talks about all those things that the Philistine came with. He came with a sword and a spear. He had a full suit of armor from his head all the way down to his feet. And then it says that he had a shield bearer go before him, you see. There's many different accounts as what that means. But I want you to understand today that Satan came prepared to try to drag every one of us to a devil's hell. I hope that resonates with you today. How? What a pitiful shape we would be in today if Jesus hadn't went and done what he did for us. We read on. I'll try to be done here in a few minutes. I beg of you, bear with me. We see that David was able to put that way, I say, David. I believe God's hand was in all that. There's a picture. That God's providence sent that stone directly where it needed to go. That it would knock that Philistine down, you see. And as I made comment there, I believe that when that Jesus was tempted by him in the wilderness there for 40 days, and that Jesus came out victorious on the other side, that it was a great blow to Satan. And his hope began to fade. But he still had hope. He still was clinging to something. That stone, I don't believe, killed Goliath. I believe it stunned him for just a little bit. And we go on through and we see. As David drew near, there it says that he took the sword of the Philistines and he cut off Goliath's head. I want you to understand today, once again, when Satan there was, when Jesus was on the cross, and he gave up the ghost, and his body was put in the tomb, that Satan still had hope that Jesus wouldn't come back. I believe we see that picture in this, but it says, as David there, he took Goliath's head with him. So you want to say is a trophy for what he had accomplished through the providence of God. I want you to understand that in that, when Jesus, that when he came back and he called his body out of the tomb to him, that Satan's hope were crushed right then and there. That he had defeated death and that Satan had no hold upon us. After that. Now, in the meantime, we may disagree on this part, we may not, but I look at that picture of David there. When he carries Goliath's head, it says that he goes to Jerusalem. And I began to think about where that when that Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, he said, into my hands I commend my spirit. I hardly believe that when he gave up the ghost on the cross, that he was standing there before an almighty God presenting his blood on our behalf while it was still warm. He said, here it is. Here it is. We see there is, you can go on and you can read the rest of that, but as Jesus, or as David there, he took that, the head of Goliath, just as we would see what that Jesus did for us on our behalf there. He said, you don't have to worry about it no more. I've conquered sin and death for all mankind. That'll be our message this morning. I hope that you got something out of it. We'll turn it back over to you, Brother Ricky.
Thank you, Brother Wes. Appreciate the message. Appreciate the thoughts that he brought forward. That it is a best thing I think I can bring out of this is the fact that when you preach Jesus out of the New Testament, you take the Old Testament and prove it. And that's what he did with that today. And he brought out the thoughts of David and how that... he was a type of Christ for them in that day. That was beautiful to me. It's a beautiful picture for me. Good to see everybody today. Appreciate Brother Wes being with us today. We want to have a song if we can. And I want us to extend the right hand of fellowship to Brother Wes and tell him how much we appreciate him coming to preach for us today. I was glad for him to come. I appreciate his message today. And so I want us to come down, come around and shake hands. We don't do this a lot here at the church, but everybody that would like to come around and you shake hands with him. Shake hands with one another in good Christian love is what we need to do. As we all know, love is something that's missing in our world today. And even at times in our churches, there's things that goes on and it doesn't show the love of God. Let's show the love of God to one to another. We all need each other. And so let's do that today. While we stand and sing, let's come together and let's shake hands one with another in good Christian love. Brother Wes, if you'll come down here in front.
246 at the bottom of the page. 246.